Welcome everyone to the Dallas Hoops Fancast, a podcast for Mavs fans. I'm your host, Sydney. I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
Hey guys.
And wow, this week, so the first return in All-Star voting was released, and Luka Doncic was on it, which I was actually kind of surprised, to be honest. We're going to talk about that later on in the show. We're also going to go through Dirk's farewell tour and its most recent stop in Boston. But first, we're going to go through the
unofficial farewell tour.
It's not
everybody else is making it his farewell tour.
So we're going to go through that. But first, we're going to go through the past week and review the highs and lows of each game. We'll start with last Sunday's game versus Oklahoma City Thunder. So this was at home. Mm-hmm. They won this game 105-103. Not a lot of notables here. The two big things were that Dennis Smith Jr. made what was eventually the game-winning shot and then also made the game-saving defensive play on the last possession against Paul George.
Yeah, I mean, he did make, I don't know, because the game-winning shot, at first he was out of control.
Yeah, it was about to be a really
a disaster. And it turned out to work out well for him, so I'm happy. And then the game-winning defensive stop, you know, Paul George just missed it. Like, he got a clean look. It's his shot. As good as Dennis Smith was on him defensively, his hands weren't high enough to really affect Paul George. And when you're a great player like Paul George, when you miss, it's really, you just happen to miss. And the defensive guy can make it as tough as possible, but he just happened to miss the shot. So it was great that he played good defense and he made the shot. But obviously, as you can tell, I'm not a huge Dennis Smith fan, so I don't want to give him any credit right now.
Yeah, I mean, he did. He played really good defense. And it's hard to say, like, was it the defense or was it Paul George? I mean, in the end, he played good defense. I'm with you. The last offensive possession, it was about to be a disaster, and then he made a break in the defense.
And, you know, everybody was talking about Dennis Smith after the game, how great he played.
Yeah.
And when you look at his numbers, this is sad. You know, a great game from our point guard of the future is 14 points and 4 rebounds with 1 assist. And everybody's like, oh, he played so well. And it's like, how low are our expectations now of Dennis Smith? And people don't realize that. They still think this guy's a future star. But a good game for him is 14 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist.
Yeah, and this was after, so for some context, this was after the New Orleans Pelicans game where he basically lost the game for the Mavs. And fans were very upset about that because of what it looked like, either that Doncic was a decoy or that Smith just said, I'm going to do this and play hero ball and made a terrible decision. And so he kind of redeemed himself with those last two plays. I mean, I'm not completely sold on it, and I think the rest of the week kind of played out as per Dennis Smith Jr. the way it usually goes, but he made some good plays.
Yeah.
So the next game was again against – so it was a home and away against the Thunder. So the next game was at Thunder. The Mavs lost that 102-122, and it was a typical road game for the Mavs. They just didn't show up.
They suck on the road.
Yeah, they didn't show up. The same intensity wasn't there. The focus wasn't there. Of course, that leads to a ton of turnovers. It leads to their defense just being atrocious, and so it was a really bad loss. The next game was at Charlotte, and they won this game 122-84. It was a blowout, and Dennis Smith Jr. had a very good game. And
his best game of the season, really.
Yeah, it was very good. And you could tell right from the tip, he was engaged, he was focused and dialed in. And a lot of this is because it's his hometown, and so he had a lot of family there, and it's the hometown crowd, and so he obviously wanted to show up for them. And I'm really glad. I mean, he had a very good game. He scored 18 points. He was efficient. He didn't make a lot of mistakes. You know, and maybe this just goes back to how I am biased in the fact that I don't like Smith, but I'm like, this almost upsets me more because now I just know what you can do. And you don't do this every game. You're not this focused every game.
Well, and another thing, you know, the Hornets aren't very good. And so, you know, and you could tell they had so many injuries. And when the Mavs kind of jumped on them, they weren't really interested in playing the rest of the game. And they're just not very good. And yeah, you're right. You know, his intensity was good. His decision making was good. And if you can do that why don't you do that regularly? I hate players, yeah. you know, in their hometown. Yeah, they play well, but then they suck everywhere else. Or every team's got that guy on another team. You know, like for the Mavs, it was always like a Ramon Sessions yeah. or
Marcus Smart.
Marcus this Smart. You know, when they play the Celtics or when they played Ramon Sessions, they suck all year long. Like they shoot 20% from three. But when they play Dallas, it was 5 for 5 from the 3-point line. And then the yeah. next game, it's 0 for 5.
And Dennis Smith Jr. is
he's
that
probably
guy
that guy for Charlotte. Yeah. He's not a very good player, but he's going to be a killer every time he plays Charlotte. And they're going to be so annoyed for the next 10 years that anytime they're going against Dennis Smith, he's going to have a huge game.
Yeah. So I sound salty because it's like he had a really good game and I'm finding a way to downplay it. But, and it's not, he did have a good game and I acknowledge that. It's just frustrating because I yeah. wish he would just do that every game.
And I think our feelings right now are just negative in general yeah. with not just Dennis Smith, but with the Mavericks.
Yeah. yeah. So they did get that win. It was a good win on the road because the very next game they played the Celtics. And again, we're typical Mavs on the road. They didn't show up. No focus, no intensity, no defense, tons of turnovers.
Very stagnant offense.
Yeah. And so they lost this game. It was pretty bad right from the beginning. They ended up losing 93-114. But it was just, again, not a good game on the mm-hmm. road. One highlight from it. So this was another stop on yeah. Dirk's farewell tour. That's unofficial because he's maybe
the opposing team's they fans know, yeah. are We're, making it yeah. his farewell because they are anticipating it as their last year.
Yeah. So the fans really wanted to score. There's actually an article
wanted him to score.
Oh yeah, yeah. They really wanted Dirk to score. There's an article on the Celtics blog on SB Nation about his possibly final game, and it was really good. It talked about how towards the end of the game the crowd started to cheer "We want Dirk" because they wanted him to go back out there and score again. And then it is so bad because he ended up not scoring at all.
Point, yeah.
yeah. The coach Brad Stevens, he was like, "I've only rooted for a guy to score twice. Once was Paul Pierce, and the other time was Dirk."
Yeah.
And it just shows how much respect fans have for Dirk.
Yeah, I was actually, I've been surprised when they go on the road because mm-hmm. even Charlotte, who, you know, it's not like we've ever had anything. Memorable moments against Charlotte in Charlotte. You know, it's like one of those teams in the East that you play once a year mm-hmm. in their hometown. And even they were cheering for Dirk. And so when we went to Boston or when the Mavs went to Boston, the crowd was like, when Dirk was coming to the game, they were cheering really. They gave him a yeah. standing ovation. And I was really surprised because Dirk, for so long in his career, really struggled to get that superstar recognition, so to
legend.
Speak. You know, yeah, that legendary yeah. status. And he was always kind of the superstar nobody wanted or nobody really thought he was a real superstar. But now you can see that, you know, really all these cities or all these fans, they recognize what he has done. And it was a lot of fun. I wish he would have made at
I
least
know.
The best one would have been that last shot when there was 1.1 seconds left. And they gave it to him. If he would have hit that at the buzzer, the crowd would have went nuts.
Yeah, it was. It sucks that he didn't score at all. He talked about it. And he said it's sweet when not only your home fans but fans on the road yeah. appreciate what you have done in the last two mm-hmm. decades. I appreciate the fans of Boston, and unfortunately, I was really disappointed I couldn't even make one shot.
yeah.
Which what it was like very un-Dirk-like. But yeah, yeah, like you were saying, fans just respect him. I think it was the championship, obviously, that helped because that was just legendary.
Yeah.
And then scoring 30,000. It's undeniable at this point.
Yeah, and I think the championship, I mean, I don't know for sure, but I just imagine that everybody in Boston was cheering for the Mavs to beat the Heat because the Heat were the arch nemesis
yeah.
of the Boston Celtics. They hate LeBron James. They hate Dwayne Wade and Chris yeah. Bosh. And so I assume that they were probably cheering for Dirk and they probably learned to love Dirk during that finals yeah. more than anything.
Yeah, it helped Dirk a lot that really like all of America was on the Mavs side in that finals mm-hmm. run. And so everyone was rooting for Dirk, and it's easier to like a guy whenever you're rooting for him. Yeah. And then he comes through. I think that yeah. helped a lot. So another, you know, piece of history going into the game, Dirk was 1 point shy of passing Kobe Bryant as a leading Western Conference scorer at TD Garden. And when he didn't score, when he found out about it, he said, I might have to come back for one more year.
It's like he wants to break all Kobe's records.
Yeah. But it was just awesome. It's going to be awesome for the rest of the season to see fans react that way. You know, Dwayne Wade is also on his self-proclaimed, like, he's made it open last season. He's not even getting as much recognition as Dirk is.
I've heard that people aren't really interested in Dwayne Wade's, you know, career or his farewell tour. It's funny because Dirk hasn't even, you know, he's always saying that he might come back next year. But even fans are like, well, just in case, you know, we want to celebrate, you know, what he has done. And it's awesome because, you know, we're in Dallas. We hate the Heat.
Yeah.
We hate Dwayne Wade. And it's just kind of a nice feeling knowing that people don't really care about his farewell tour. And our guy Dirk is getting all the love.
Yeah. So, I mean, they lost. That was kind of a highlight of it, being able to see Dirk get that kind of recognition. I really enjoyed it. I wish they had won, but, you know, at least they got that. And it didn't get any better from there. So they went on to play the Sixers, lost that game 100-106, and it was not that close.
They got it close at the end, but you never really felt like anything was going to happen because they just haven't been playing well.
Yeah. Doncic really struggled in this game. He finished with 14 points, 4 assists, 2 steals, 8 rebounds, which is still a good line, but he shot 4-for-16 from the floor. And a lot of shots I thought were somewhat ill-advised. Some people were hypothesizing that he might be forcing shots now since, as we've talked about, he doesn't really get a lot of plays run specifically for him. And I don't know if that was the case, but he didn't shoot it very well that night.
Yeah. You know, it could have been that. It could have been the second night of a back-to-back. People are saying that, you know, he hasn't really gotten into that kind of shape where on the second night of a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to look at how he's done in the previous second night of back-to-backs to see if maybe that has anything to do with it. But I think that run where they went to Golden State and Portland, I thought he played well in Portland. I can't really recall, though, but it could have been that. It could have been maybe a little bit more pressure on him because of the All-Star votes. Maybe he feels like he's got to play well now.
Yeah.
I thought another interesting thing is, you know, a lot of people are comparing him and Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he reads into that or anything like that, and maybe he felt a little bit extra pressure to perform well. But what we've seen from Doncic is that kind of pressure really makes him play better.
Yeah, it doesn't faze him
so
at all.
So maybe the second night of a back-to-back, or maybe it just wasn't a good night for him.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, along those lines, people also compare him a lot to Jason Tatum, which is weird because Tatum is a forward.
Yeah.
But against the Celtics, he had 19 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists.
And he didn't really even play that well against Boston.
Yeah, he was 7-for-16, so that's about 44%. Yeah. So, it like, by Doncic standards, it was a little subpar. So I don't know if the comparison is what hurt him against the Sixers.
I think Tatum has become the media sensation of last year and into this. They anticipated Tatum to be a future superstar. Yeah. And Tatum is a good player, but he hasn't really developed into that. And, you know, they could make all these excuses about, well, they have a team full of stars. Are they really stars? Can we stop saying that? Like, yeah, the Celtics have a lot of good players, but we only say they're a team filled with stars because we put Brown and Tatum into that category with Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. But Kyrie's on another level than those guys.
Yeah.
And not only that, you know, the Warriors have 4 stars.
Yeah, that's a team full of stars.
And yet they all seem to get their
20
shots
plus
up.
Points,
so,
yeah.
You know, I don't really consider that. Yeah, you have to adjust with playing with everybody, but, you know, really the only addition is Gordon Hayward, because last year it was Tatum and Kyrie and Jaylen Brown, and Hayward was out. Now in the playoffs, it was just Tatum. And another thing, like Tatum, they talk about Tatum's playoff run like it was some legendary performance. For a rookie, it was good. He averaged like 18 points. Let me look here. In the playoffs last year.
You're going off on a tangent, by the way.
I'm sorry. I just, you know.
We struck a
Doncic is better than Tatum. I'll just leave it at that and we'll move on.
Okay. The final result is that they lost against the Sixers. They did not have a good week. They finished 2-3. They're currently 12th in the West at 18-21. I'm starting to think they might not make the playoffs.
Unfortunately, that's what it's looking like. It's
looking like that.
They got to turn it around on the road. I mean, you got to win some of these games on the road.
Yeah, the thing is, we're halfway into the season now. So you can't really say like, well, we're only 20 games. We're only 30 games. Like, we're halfway into the season. This is who you are. And the thing is, like, the Kings are kind of not bad this year.
Yeah,
the Lakers, they're without LeBron right now, but they were on a pretty hot streak. The Rockets have really turned it around. And so
the Spurs have turned it around.
The Spurs, too. So some of these teams that they were out of the playoffs, which helped the Mavs to be in the playoffs, that's changed. And the Mavs have not responded. So I don't see them making the playoffs right now.
And I mean, I think we were okay with that before the season. Like, we thought the playoffs would be awesome if they made it and would be kind of a stretch. But before the season, we were hoping for 500.
Yeah.
But they had that stretch there where they won like 12 out of 17 or something like that. And they looked really good doing it. And they were beating a lot of good teams. Now, a lot of them were at home, but still, you got to win those games. And I think we all just got excited because, you know, we saw them actually win and play well and beat some of these teams. And right now they just are struggling.
Well, and like I said at that point, I was happy that they turned it around and were winning. But I was like, as long as Carlisle is the coach, I'm not too optimistic because I know that those same Carlisle problems are going to resurface, and they did.
And are we going to get into the Carlisle stuff now?
No,
because
not
we're
going to
get stuck in,
because we're going to stay positive and talk about Luka Doncic.
Okay.
So first of all, Luka was named Rookie of the Month for the second time in a row. But bigger than that, the first return for All-Star voting was released. This is just fan votes so far. And Luka was on it. He was second in front court votes for the All-Star game, just behind LeBron. He's ahead of some guys that he probably, you know, should not be ahead of. But the fact is, he's on the list. And I'm going to be honest. I mean, yeah, I voted, but I don't know if I actually expected him to make it, because he's a rookie, and you just, you know, getting your name out there that early is kind of hard to do, but he's on it. So he's ahead of Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Paul Pierce, Steven Adams, Paul George. He's ahead of all these guys.
He was seventh overall.
Yeah,
fourth in the West.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was really surprised as well. It made me laugh. I saw it at work, I almost laughed out loud because it was just so funny to see, you know? It's Luka. That's our guy, you know? Yeah. And one thing with Dirk, he never got voted in.
I know.
Even though he was clearly more deserving some of these years to be a starter. But Luka, everybody seems to like him. He's got a lot of support. He's got a lot of fans in Europe that are probably voting for him.
Mm-hmm.
And people in Dallas are going berserk over Luka. And it was just cool to see his name under LeBron, ahead of Durant and Anthony Davis. And obviously, it was like, okay, let's calm down, people, you know, because we love Luka, but he's not better than Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant.
But that's
Paul
the All-Star
George.
Game.
Yeah.
I mean, Derek Rose.
Yeah, he got voted. Yeah. He was second. So I don't think he'll be a starter.
Yeah.
But it was cool to see him up there.
Yeah. So this is the first return. Voting is still open. And also, fan votes only account for 50%. Mm-hmm. And then 25% is players. 25% is media. And fans only vote in the starters. And the rest is put into, or I think all of them actually are put into a pool of players that the two leading vote getters use as their draft to draft their teams. So there's a lot that still has to happen to see where Luka lands. I think that he will make it just because he's gotten so many votes. Fans do account for 50%. That is still a large percentage. I do think that he'll make it. I don't know if he'll be a starter, but I think he's going to make it.
I mean, I hope so. He hasn't played well the last couple of games. And, you know, so he's got to continue to play well.
Yeah.
I still think it'll be very hard for him to actually play in the All-Star game, because if he doesn't get voted in as a starter, the coaches are the ones that pick the reserves, and then they do the draft by the two top vote getters. And if he's not a reserve, then he's not drafted by the top vote getters. I believe what happens is, you know, the starters are voted in, obviously, and then the two top vote getters can pick who they want on their team. But the reserves are also picked by the coaches, and then that they're also drafted, so you can pick who you want on your team. Okay. And so if he doesn't get voted in as a starter, I believe the coaches would have to pick him in. And I think that's where it's going to be tough, because you still have a lot of great players that the coaches will pick, and they'll just have to see if, you know, they really – I think what helps him the most, not just his numbers, but his clutch play.
Yeah. Well, I think if the fans have given him so many votes, I kind of – like, you know, the coaches, you kind of have to – just for the fans. Just for the fans, yeah. So if he does make it, there's a list – NBA.com published a list of the 45 rookies in NBA history who have made the All-Star game. And I'll just go through the list to a certain point, because after that we won't know who these guys are. But so Blake Griffin was the last one. That was in the 2011 season. Yao Ming made it his rookie year. Tim Duncan, Grant Hill, Shaquille O'Neal, Mutombo, David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, Michael Jordan, Hakeem, Ralph Sampson, Isaiah Thomas, Kelly Tripucka. I don't know who that is, I'm going to be honest.
I mean, we could stop there.
And yeah, but also think of the like,
names that you just.
Yeah, so Larry Bird also made it. Magic Johnson made it. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar made it. Elvin Hayes, Wes Unseld, Rick Barry, Willis Reed, Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, Wilt. I'm almost done. Elgin Baylor. Are you going to
name all of them?
just the ones that stand out. Bob Pettit. Bob Cousy, Larry Faust. So that's going all the way back.
So what you're saying is if he does make it, he's probably going to be an all-time
great. Yeah, he's guaranteed to be an all-time great. There's some guys in there that aren't like on the top 20 list.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if you knew the NBA, you would be like, yeah, Tom Heinsohn, he's an all-time great. So
we stop at the 80s because we don't know anything before that.
Yeah, so if he does make it, then it's a good sign. We'll say that.
Yeah.
So the rest of the All-Star voting, just to go through it really quick. So LeBron is number one for the front court. And then I listed some of the other guys earlier. Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Paul George, Steven Adams, which kind of surprised me. Nikola Jokic. I thought he should be higher than Steven Adams. Kyle Kuzma, Draymond Green, and DeMarcus Cousins, because the world doesn't make sense. For the guards in the West, Steph Curry, Derrick Rose, James Harden. In no world should Derrick Rose be above James Harden. I don't even like James Harden. Yeah. Russell Westbrook, Klay Thompson, Damian Lillard finally made it. DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, Devin Booker, and then Chris Paul. In the East, for the front court, Giannis, Kawhi Leonard, Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler, Jason Tatum, Blake Griffin, Vince Carter.
Yeah, and Tatum shouldn't be on there.
I think people just want to see Vince Carter dunk one last time. Andre Drummond, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford. That's the front court. For the guards, Kyrie Irving, Dwayne Wade.
He shouldn't be on there.
That's the there's always the one obligatory like veteran legend. There's always one spot left for that guy. Dirk's last time, he didn't deserve it. That was for that. I think they've done that for Tim Duncan a couple times. Kemba Walker, Ben Simmons, Victor Oladipo, Kyle Lowry, Zach LaVine, Jeremy Lin, Bradley Beal, and John Wall. I feel like the guards list in the East is a little...
Oh, even in the West. I mean, Derrick Rose ahead of James Harden and Damian Lillard and DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, but again, that's the All-Star game. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. We'll see if he actually makes it. Okay, so that's All-Star voting. Next, since the Mavs suck, everybody is talking about what needs to change. And I find it so interesting that opinions differ so much on what the problem is. Most everyone agrees that Carlisle is awful and Wesley Matthews is awful. Not awful. He's just not being used correctly.
Yeah.
Wesley Matthews can be a valuable player if you use him correctly, and they're just not. But two players that people really differ on are Dennis Smith Jr. and Harrison Barnes. Mm-hmm. And what people say for Dennis Smith Jr. is that he's young and has a lot of potential, and he and Luka could have a special thing going. We don't
disagree.
Yeah, we don't agree 100%. With that. 100%. Because
Dennis Smith just isn't a very good player.
Yeah, it's only his second year. I get that he has potential, but I think his flaws are things that, like, you're either going to get that by now or not. And it's a lot of the basketball IQ, the understanding the flow and the feel of the game. He doesn't have that. And I just, that's a thing that you either have by now or you don't. This is the NBA. Yeah. You should have learned that, or you just know it. I mean, Luka is 19 and he knows it.
Yeah. Well, people will say because he's got all these years of experience, well, like, which he may has, be true.
Well, sorry. He has those years in the professional league because he did get it.
Yeah.
That's because how he got
exactly.
there.
Yeah. So what you want to see in a young player is the glimpses of what he can become. And unfortunately, Dennis Smith doesn't give us really any glimpses that he's going to be great. And don't give me this, well, he has great dunks or, you know, well, that's about it. Yeah, he's got great dunks because
he's athletic.
You know, if he didn't have these highlight reel dunks or if he wasn't the 9th overall pick, he wouldn't be playing right now.
Yeah.
And he's basically playing because he's the 9th overall pick and because he's got this crazy athleticism. But even his rookie year, like, we were excited the start mm-hmm. of the season. But then as the season went on, I realized he's not very good.
Yeah. And it was tough because I thought he was going to be really good. We were mm-hmm. talking about, could he win rookie of the year?
Yeah.
I mean, we had really high hopes and we stuck with it for a long time. And I have a lot this mm-hmm. year too. But at some point last year, we just realized, like, you know what? He's just not very good. He's averaging 15 points yeah. on a really bad team yeah. where it's easy to look good
and
on
it's
a
not
bad
even,
team.
It's not even the points per game. It's just he yeah. didn't show any flashes
yeah.
that, you know, he's going to be a star player one day. And that, we're not seeing that this year either. So, you know, our opinion, I think, is the same. Dennis Smith is not going to be a part of the future. At least we don't think he should be.
Yeah, I for a long time was on the boat that, like, he's too young to trade. You yeah. need to stick with him and see what you had. And I felt that way for yeah. a long time. And it's weird, but over time, I've just seen, like, these things that he doesn't understand. Yeah. And it's like, I don't want to have to wait. If we could get a guy like Bradley Beal, why would you not? Bradley Beal is 25. He's yeah. still very young. And if he gets it, just get him. And just as the season goes on, seeing Luka and the level that he's at and where Smith is, it's like, man,
it's
this
not even
is
close.
It shows you yeah. where he is. I've seen a lot of people too, though, that they're like, I know Smith isn't a superstar. I know he's not a star, and I'm okay with that. I think he is a decent player. He's a young player, and you stick with that. And I'm okay with that too. He is young and he is a decent player. I mean, 15 points is okay. But to me, that doesn't say, like, we need to hold on to this guy. Like, to me, okay, he's all right, but he's tradable. There's nothing about him where it's like, no, we have to hold on to that.
Yeah, to me, he's not a good player. And that's just it to me. Like, analytically or in the advanced stats.
Analytically.
Yeah, he's the worst player on the Mavericks team. And, you know, to me, he's not very good. One of the things that makes you good is understanding how to play. And he doesn't do that. He doesn't know how to use his athleticism, how to use his speed. He's either going too fast or too slow. He's never mixing it up. He drives it in on some of the best rim protectors in the league and tries to finish over them, and he just gets stuffed at the rim. He doesn't know how to use his body, and people will say, well, these are things you can learn. A lot of this stuff you can't learn. A lot of this stuff is things that you're kind of just born with. You know, you have a natural knack for being creative or having good footwork. And yeah, a lot of this stuff you can develop, but a lot of it you can't. And the things that you can't, he's not good at. And that's what you want to see in a young player. Is he good at those things, the smarts, or getting to know the game, or maybe he's struggling to finish at the rim, but is he having the right technique, the right footwork, the right body? And he doesn't show those things. And analytically, he's the worst player on the team.
Yeah, he's not good at making adjustments in the air. You talked about that. Yeah. A lot of time he goes in maybe just looking for contact more than actually making the shot. So this year he's averaging 12.5 points, 4 assists, and that's a regression from his rookie year when he averaged 15 points.
I think a lot of people, you'll hear in the national media, you'll hear it from former coaches that are now like on ESPN or NBA.com, they all love Dennis Smith. They all think Dennis Smith is going to be this or that, or he's going to be a star. And that's mainly because they don't watch every single game. But the overall idea or viewpoint of Dennis Smith is that he's going to be a star. And so to me, his trade value right now is really high. Trade him before everybody else figures out that he's not actually that good of a player. Get something in return for him.
Yeah. So that the other player that people really differ on is their opinions differ on is Harrison Barnes. Mm-hmm. Harrison Barnes this year is averaging 18 points, 4 rebounds, and 1 assist. And that's really the big complaints that people have with Barnes is that he's a black hole on offense. He's averaging 1 assist. His assist percentage is also very low. And so he's not a very good playmaker. He's not a good rebounder. He's basically a black hole on offense. And it's funny because I feel like I'm using the same argument that other people use for Smith. I'm using that for Barnes. Like, I'm like, yes, I understand he's not a good playmaker and he's not a great rebounder, but he's an excellent shooter. He plays very well off of Doncic.
Yeah,
he's really embraced this role. I think it took him a while to understand that he's not the guy anymore, but he plays really well off of Luka. And I think, you know, a lot of his assists this year are because a lot of his shots are like catch and shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, last year they would do post-ups because he was the guy. And he was a black hole on offense. But this year he doesn't do that so much. So it doesn't hurt them, yeah. I don't think.
I think what you see with Harrison Barnes, we talk about when he drives it to the lane.
That is a problem.
He cannot find an open person. But how many times does he drive it?
Exactly.
It's so rare.
Yeah.
Like what he has turned into alongside Luka and maybe some coaching is he is a catch and shoot guy. And he's actually very good at being a catch and shoot guy, shooting, 42%
from the 3-point line.
42% from three is elite.
Yeah.
3-point shooter. And 18 points a game on 42% from three is exactly what the league is nowadays. Yeah, he can be a better rebounder. You know, his rebounding isn't very good. But his assists and his playmaking, I'm not too worried about because we don't want to ask him to be a playmaker because he's not good at it. We want to ask him to be what he is. And what he is right now is a catch-and-shoot three-pointer or a catch-and-shoot guy who can make a play one-on-one to score if need be from time to time.
If you're in a pinch.
Yeah, exactly. So, for me, yes, he's a terrible playmaker, but let's not ask him to be a playmaker because he's really good at the other things.
Yeah, he's doing a great job right now. And, you know, again, like Smith is averaging 12.5 points. Barnes is averaging 18.
Yeah, and Smith is asked to be a playmaker.
Yeah, so whatever, you know, negatives Barnes has, he's still contributing 18 points a game. Now, like, I think if you could get a better player, then yeah, you trade Barnes. But I think that
don't trade him just to trade him.
Yeah, don't trade him just to trade him. I think Smith is a guy that you trade just to trade him because he's not any good. And I think it's easier to upgrade at the point guard or really the shooting guard position because right now we're getting 12.5 points from Smith, 14 from Matthews, and of course we don't need to talk about the problem with Matthews. I think it's easier to upgrade.
Well, I
want to
talk about the problem with Matthews.
I think it's easier to upgrade at those two guard positions, whereas with Barnes, his 18 points, his shooting, his leadership, I think it's a little harder to upgrade from that.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I want to get better. And if that means trading Barnes to get some guy that's even better, definitely. I just think that with Smith and Matthews, that's an easier upgrade to make. And I think that you could get a guy like Beal or, you know, Porter, maybe Beale and Porter, without
McCollum might be available.
Yeah, without trading Barnes.
Yeah, like I said, if you're asking Barnes to be your superstar, your franchise cornerstone, then yeah, he's not very good at
that. We've already seen how that works out.
He's not. But can he be a really good scorer? Can he really put the ball in the basket for you and work off of Luka? He's already proven that he can do that. Matthews and Smith, you know, they're not very good playmakers, and they're not very good
players,
period. You know, Smith, yes, he's a okay 3-point shooter, and he's an okay defender. But are these untradeable qualities? You know, what else does he do? And does he even do these well enough? I mean, George Hill is a much better defender, and probably, and without me looking at the numbers, he's probably a better 3-point shooter than Dennis Smith. So if that is the barometer, then there's way more point guards out there that are better fits for Dallas.
Yeah, I think Smith is an okay player. He is young and he could get better, but there's nothing about him that screams to me, don't trade him. Mm-hmm. And so right now the Mavs need to make an upgrade. That's obvious. And everybody is saying that's obvious. But yet when you talk about their weakest links, no one wants to trade Smith. And it's like, well, look at the team. I mean, so Doncic is averaging 19. Barnes is averaging 18. You want to make upgrades. You're going to have to upgrade some of these guys that aren't holding up their end of the bargain. And that is Smith, you know, Matthews and these other guys. So those are the players, Dennis Smith Jr. and Harrison Barnes. Opinions differ. That's how we feel a bit about it. But there's actually a lot of things going wrong with the Mavs. They are awful on the road, and even when they're at home, they're sometimes barely winning these games. Yeah. They need to change a lot, not just with personnel, but with the way that they play.
Well, it's like when you look at these losses on the road, they lost to the Thunder, to Boston, to Philadelphia. You know, good teams lose to those teams on the road. Those are good teams at home. So you can't expect them to win every single home game. And it's not really the fact that they're losing. Yes, you want them to win. It's just the way they're playing. They look terrible. They look unwatchable on the road against the Thunder, against Boston and Philadelphia. They just don't look very good. They look rigid. Their offense is, you know, they're running plays. They started the last couple of games out. Their opening possessions are post-ups for Wes Matthews.
Yeah.
And I just...
did not like that.
No, I don't. It's, you know, everybody else is standing there. This is you're starting the game, you know, and the only person getting involved at the start of the game is the guy you really don't need to get him involved because he naturally will get open shots without running a play for him because of his style.
Yeah, and no one else touched the ball on those possessions. Yeah, so you didn't really get the game going.
No, yeah, he scored against Philadelphia. He made his first two shots. But everybody else is standing there watching. And you know Philadelphia's coach, Brett Brown, is like, thank you. Yes, please post up Matthews all night. Take the ball out of Luka's hands and Barnes' hands. And that's another thing. Like, I understand Carlisle, maybe he wants to post somebody up. But what happened to posting up Harrison Barnes? How come Wes Matthews turned into Tim Duncan here? Like, literally, we throw the ball into the post, which the league has gone away from, and we're throwing it into a 3-point shooter in the post. And I know, yes, from time to time, he makes it, and it looks like a good play. But for the majority of the time, it's a terrible play call. Nobody gets involved. And their offense looks so rigid. Everybody looks like they're second-guessing what they should do. They're always looking at Carlisle. What's the play call? Whose turn is it to get a shot up? And they just don't look very good.
Do you want to talk about the lineups?
I don't know if we have time to get into the lineups. Oh, but okay. The only thing I'll say about the lineups is the starting lineup, if you swap out Dorian Finney-Smith for Wes Matthews, it's a 14-point swing. So they're -9 with Wes Matthews. They're +5. With Dorian Finney-Smith.
+5.9.
So it's almost a 15 or 16-point swing on how much better you are with Dorian Finney-Smith in the starting lineup instead of Wes Matthews.
So I want to compare those two lineups. So their starting lineup, is Barnes, Doncic, Jordan, Matthews, and Smith. And you said, so if they swap Matthews and Finney-Smith, that's the only thing that changes. So they go from negative 9.2 to plus 5.9. Their field goal percentage goes from negative 0.024 to plus 0.22. That's net. Mm-hmm. So, you know, opponent versus what they do. Their 3-point percentage goes down slightly. Their free throw attempts go up from plus 3.7 to plus 17.8. Their percentage goes down a bit on free throws. But yeah, I mean, their assist, number of assists goes from, oh, I'm sorry. Their assist goes up slightly. The blocks go up from negative 2.1 to plus 0.3. The turnovers go down. The personal fouls go down. I mean, it's...
Well, and you said that the three-point percentage goes down with Finney-Smith. It actually goes up.
Yeah, I was looking at the wrong line.
So they're a better three-point shooting team.
They get to the more line free throws. Yeah.
They're a better team with Finney-Smith. And that's a good sample size. It's 132 minutes compared to 300. But it's not 20 minutes. You know, that's a lot of time together. Then that was when Matthews was out. And they're a much better team. Well, at least the starting lineup is much better with Dorian Finney-Smith over Wes Matthews. I think the reason Carlisle probably doesn't swap them is because the lineup with JJ, Finney-Smith, Harris, Kleba, and Powell is a plus 20, and he probably doesn't want to swap that.
Well, and a lot of people have talked about how, you know, Wes Matthews maybe should come off the bench because it would give the bench another shooter, another guy that, you know, you could, in that situation, it's like, okay, post him up. I understand that. You're not taking the ball away from Doncic and Barnes. I don't care. And it would be another shooter. He might be better with that bench unit. Finney-Smith is clearly very good with the starting unit. It makes sense. Some people are thinking that maybe they don't do that simply because they're paying Matthews so much. He's got to be a starter. There's some reason why, like, despite what the numbers say, Matthews is better off the bench, Finney-Smith is better with the starters. For some reason, they've chosen to not go that route.
Yeah.
Even though it's pretty clear.
And it also looks like, you know, I'm glancing at it, but it looks like, you know, Luka and Matthews are just not good together. And if you look at the two-man lineup, Luka and Matthews is a negative 2.2. And
Luka and Finney-Smith are a plus 4 on points.
Yeah. And so to me, I think my personal opinion, one of the reasons Luka and Matthews doesn't work out is because they're not utilized the right way. Because when they're on the floor, the ball's going to Matthews over Luka. It's idiotic. That's when the post-ups happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, to me.
Whereas when Finney-Smith is out there,
the ball's in Luka's hands.
Yeah, you're not going to do that because Finney-Smith can't.
Yeah.
And so you're putting you're putting the ball into Doncic's hand. And then again, when Matthews is with the bench guys, you know, run a post up because otherwise it's, you know, Powell or something. So I'm okay with that. And he's going against bench players. I think he's more likely to score. I don't know, all the numbers and other people on Twitter, all fans are saying this, that Finney-Smith is better as a starter. Wes Matthews is better with the bench unit. Mm-hmm. Why are we not switching this?
I don't get it. You know, and I was looking for a lineup with JJ, Matthews, Harris, Kleba, and Dwight Powell, but I can't find. It's like he's never even given that a chance. So when the bench comes in right now, it's with Finney-Smith, but I'd like to see that with Matthews. And that lineup, he's never even tried.
They have run a lineup with Barea, Brunson, Kleba, Matthews, and Powell, which is the closest you're going to get to what you talked about, Barea, Harris, Kleba, Matthews, and Powell. But Barea, Brunson, Kleba, Matthews, and Powell, that's a plus 34. Now, they've only played 25 minutes. That's probably...
But
a couple minutes in a few games.
More time.
Looking at.
Yeah. Like, and that's the highest, plus 34. So that at least, you should at least give that another look. Like, you know, if it's so good, at least give it some more time. And yet we never see that again.
Yeah, it's, you know, again, when we talk about Matthews, like, I always have to say, like, I don't think Matthews is a bad player. He's just not being used right. Right. He's better with the bench. We talked about these couple of lineups that he's better with. Finney Smith is better, you know, and it's just like, these guys are good, but if you use them the wrong way, they look really bad.
Well, and I think he may even be fine with the starting lineup, but just not used.
Yeah.
Like, when he's in the starting lineup, it's almost like Luka is the secondary, really the third option.
But because I wouldn't that far.
But there are a lot of times, okay, when you're on the road in a hostile environment, who do you go to?
Your best player.
Who do the Mavs go to?
Matthews.
So what does that tell you how Carlisle feels?
He
trusts Matthews more than Luka. And so that ultimately means Luka is secondary. Now, there are stretches when that starting lineup's in and Luka's the primary guy. But to start the game, he went to Matthews. He didn't go.
Against the Sixers.
Yeah, he didn't go to Luka. And really, even the Charlotte game, he started off with, I remember we were talking about it. Like, why are we starting the game with Wes Matthews? When did he turn into Tim Duncan in the post? I don't get it. And so, you know, to me, we play Matthews as a number one guy with that starting lineup. And I think that's why it doesn't fit.
Yeah, I think Matthews can be a good piece to this team, but I don't think he's being used right. And that's why I want to trade him. Not because I don't like
him. So Carlisle can't play him.
It's simply because Carlisle isn't going to use him the right way, so just get rid of him. That way Carlisle can't do all that stuff. Because like we talked about before, he doesn't post up Finney Smith, except for that one crazy time against, was it the Celtics or something? But he doesn't do that with Finney Smith, so it kind of helps. And that's why I want to trade Matthews. It's not because of Matthews. It's because of Carlisle. And that goes back to, you know, in the last episode we were talking about that a lot of these problems, it's not really the player's fault. It's these things that Carlisle does. It's their rotations, the lineups, the shot selection, the plays that he calls, the minutes. You know, the players are going to struggle. The bench is going to look bad if you leave them out there for 25 minutes going against the starters.
Yeah.
The starters are going to struggle if you bring them back after 15 minutes of rest. You know, Luka is going to struggle if he only gets 15 shots a game.
Well, and that's another thing. Harrison Barnes, I know people will make the argument you don't want to play Luka too many minutes. I completely disagree that he shouldn't be playing at least 35. But Harrison Barnes, there is no excuse that he is under 32 minutes a game right now. He's at 31.9. Yeah. There's no excuse for that. He is your most reliable shooter. He is a veteran.
He's young
still.
He's
a good defender.
He's in shape.
Young. He's in his prime. He's in magnificent shape. There's no excuse to not have him out there for more than 32 minutes. And I don't understand that. I also agree with the, you know, that same logic with Luka, but I can understand the argument. You don't want to get him injured or anything like that. But
okay, so we've talked for an hour. Some good, but a little bit of bad because
we're frustrated.
The Mavs suck right now.
Yeah.
At least if Luka makes the All-Star game, I think if Luka wins Rookie of the Year and makes the All-Star game, I honestly would be okay with this season because that's a bright spot and you have hope going forward. So anyway, that's the end of the episode. Thank you guys for listening. Final words, Martin.
Yeah, let us know.
Thank you, and we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.